Welcome to the Blather
on Ratbag Radio.
In this edition of the Blather, I interview Sue Bolton, who's the National Trade Union Coordinator for the Socialist Alliance. The new industrial regulations being passed by the Howard government are sure to have a huge impact on trade union and working class conditions nationally. I began the interview by asking Sue what was her assessment of the two major mobilisations that have occurred so far this year, the first on June 30th and the second on November 15th.
Okay, so far, well, I mean, I think the ACTU's side of the campaign, they're really running a very low-level kind of campaign. But I think what was important to the whole campaign was a decision by the Victorian unions early this year that they wanted to have a serious fight against the industrial relations laws. They initiated a mass delegates meeting and put out a call for a nationwide protest and stoppage on the 30th of June. After that, the WA unions followed suit, and then gradually, bit by bit, the Queensland unions and various other unions came in behind the call, and so many unions were supporting the call that the ACTU was forced to come in behind it. I mean, I think another thing which was very good, providing the campaign keeps going in 2006, is the fact that so many people mobilised in the largest protest, industrial protest, in Australia's history on November 15. Somewhere between 500 and 600,000 workers mobilised on that day, which would have included some people who would have voted for Howard in the last election. Those people who mobilised despite the government's saturation level advertising campaign, which is the biggest government advertising campaign in history. And so that was a significant amount of lies that were pumped out over the airways, and yet people still went on strike and mobilised, although in some cases the white collar unions didn't necessarily all strike. Some of them took recreation leave and so forth. However, now we go into 2006 and we face the new challenge of fighting to defeat the legislation. That's where there's a bit of a debate in the union movement about what to do, because there's some wings of the union movement, probably the dominant, you know, the ACTU and the dominant wing of the union movement, really wants to hunker down and organise just enough union activity to keep the ALP up in the opinion polls. But there is a significant minority of unions that thinks a campaign needs to be waged to defeat the legislation, and that's what this discussion is about at the moment.
But how's that campaign going to happen, given that one swallow does not a summer make, or two swallows does not a summer make? I mean, we have to look forward to some upping the ante a little bit during 2006, particularly when the legislation starts kicking in. So how's that campaign going to be generated, and what hope can we have that that campaign will actually occur?
Well, it might be small steps, but we did see small steps which, you know, got June 30 underway earlier this year, and June 30, something like 350,000 workers nationally mobilised. What has originated out of some of the unions in Victoria, both official union officials as well as rank and file unionists, which also includes unionists connected with the Socialist Alliance, is a petition calling on the ACTU to organise a national stoppage in March.
March is when the legislation should be
enacted.
And
in fact, it's due to be enacted on the 29th of March. A national stoppage and protest to go with that national stoppage, and for the ACTU executive to meet earlier than February to organise such a protest and such a stoppage. It's really important because unless we introduce an element of industrial action into the campaign, there's no threat to employers and governments for that they shouldn't use this legislation. Obviously, the industrial action needs to be go hand in hand with mass protests and so forth, but we need to up the ante. And if we don't have a big show of strength early in the year, then there'll be a big sense amongst a lot of workers that there's nothing we can do to stop the legislation. We just have to wait until the elections. But there are big problems if we do that, because if we do just wait for to the elections, and even if Labor gets elected, which they might not get elected, and even if they do repeal the legislation, which there's no guarantee they will, the longer the legislation's able to operate unimpeded by the union movement, the further inroads that AWAs and other cuts in conditions will make. And even workers who are on 3-year enterprise bargaining agreements are not protected, really. The minister can at any time stop industrial action. I mean, the scale of this legislation actually stops basic union activity from happening. Really, union leaderships have to be prepared to disregard the law and keep operating as per usual. Otherwise, really what they're talking about is their unions going under. So it's important that we have a national show of strength, which includes industrial action in combination with the industry-specific and union-specific campaigns. It's also possible that, especially if they do try and jail workers, which is expected in the unions in Victoria, especially the building unions, that they will try and jail workers, that there will be a big solidarity campaign, and we could see an MUA-style response there. That's what unions in Victoria are gearing up for, and certainly there are some other unions in other parts of the country that also, you know, expect to see a big response should any unionist get jailed. But we have to really build up the expectation amongst workers that we need to struggle. We can't just wait until the next election. Otherwise, you know, we will be misleading workers grossly if we just say wait until the next election.
Well, there's one other point just before I come back to the trade union question, and that is the High Court challenge coming from the New South Wales government at the present time. Is that any way of a strategy forward for the moment? I understand the other states will follow, but can we hold out any hope that there is a legal option to oppose this legislation?
I think the fact that there's a High Court challenge, you know, it's a good thing to do and all of that, but I don't think that will save us, because that's really only over the question of the federal government taking over the state industrial relations systems. And even if the state governments win, that will mean a whole lot of workers will still be subject to these federal laws. And I think a problem of relying on this federal court challenge will be a little bit similar to what happened in Victoria in 1993, when Jeff Kennett was elected and state awards were abolished. So all of these unions rushed and got federal award coverage. But there was something like 350,000 workers in Australia were still covered under this Schedule 1A of the Victorian Industrial Relations legislation, which basically meant they just had 5 minimum conditions, which is what Howard's legislation is. So basically, unions, because majority of workers were then covered by federal awards, then unions didn't do anything to fight for those remaining workers. So it's not a solution. At some point, we have to stop this rushing backwards and forwards between federal and state awards. I'm not saying union leaderships don't have to consider those factors, but at some point we have to stand up and fight against this anti-union legislation, regardless of whether it's state or federal. And also, I mean, the state governments have cooperated. The state governments are cooperating with Howard in this, and the state governments have also cooperated with Howard with these anti-terrorism laws, which a lot of trade unionists don't realise, as well as the public at large, that industrial action is specifically mentioned in these anti-terrorism laws, these laws which the Labor Party, both state Labor governments and the federal Labor Party, have helped to bring into law. So we can't have any confidence in this High Court challenge. Sure, if it goes the right way, I mean, that's, you know, a plus. But even if a High Court challenge is won, we still need to fight around these laws, because not all workers will be covered by state industrial awards.
But one of the problems, I think, one of the causes of frustration was that in the example of June 30th, and in the example of November 15th, there was a crucial role played by Victorian unions and Western Australian unions. What if that continues, and that whilst unions in Victoria and West Australia are keen to fight, the situation in other states is not so dynamic? Now, how can we deal with any sort of entrenched problem like that? How can we spread this beyond those boundaries of those two states? Is there any hope for that sort of being consolidated in the present time?
Well, it's sort of early days, but, you know, what we need to do is try to build up some more national networks of unions, because once upon a time, in a situation like this, the networks of the old Communist Party really built these struggles. I mean, that was the case in the Clarie O'Shea campaign.
That was in 1969.
That was a case with the Medibank strike in, I think it was 1976. Something like that. 1976.
You're stretching my memory now, yeah. But yeah, let's say sometime in the 70s.
So, in those days, there was both, you know, as well as trade union structures, there were structures of activists throughout the left-wing parties. There was more than one Communist Party by the time of the 1970s, but there were structures uniting militants outside of the trade unions as well as within the unions. Nowadays, we haven't really had that for many years. We haven't had a mass party like the Communist Party for many years. And so often unionists don't know what's happening outside their own state or what's happening outside their own union. And so often there are unionists that want a more militant campaign, but they're not in contact with other militants who also want such a campaign. Now, in Victoria, where there probably is a bigger range of union leaderships that are, you know, want a more militant approach, and I think the Victorian Trades Hall Council is more militant than the other Trades Hall Councils and has been probably since about 1998. It's got its limitations, but it's, there's a bigger pool of progressive union leaderships. But even there, the attempt to build an alternative strategy to just reliance on the Labor Party happens in a very disparate way, because a lot of the collaboration between unionists in different unions is on a very informal kind of basis. And I think, you know, we did initiate last year, it was an initiative of the Socialist Alliance, but it was broader than the Socialist Alliance, a Fight Back conference, which was the first such initiative since the one which the ACT branch of the Builders Labourers Federation initiated in 1986, I think it was, in Canberra. The one in Melbourne had something like 350 people present at it. It was quite a diverse crowd of unionists who want to see a more left, more militant approach in the whole IR campaign than what was being offered up to them by the ACTU. So I think, you know, that was a step, but some of that sort of work, that sort of network which is emerging, needs to be consolidated, and there's a lot of work to do that, because really there aren't any structures which unite all of the militants. Some of the militants are in Socialist Alliance, and probably I think the reason Socialist Alliance has been able to generate some initiatives in collaboration with other unionists is because Socialist Alliance is a structure which unites people across the country, unionists who don't want to just rely on the Lab Party. And so through Socialist Alliance, unionists, as well as in collaboration with other militants outside, that sort of working relationship has been able to put some pressure on for more action in the campaign, and I think that was certainly proved in 2005, and we obviously need to try and further that and try and further the collaboration and try to, you know, develop more of a network in this coming year. But it's a big challenge.
What would you say to any trade unionist who is really hates this situation at the present time, wants to fight, but is also scared because of the context of the laws and what they're going to do to the work situation? What can they do if they're on a job somewhere? What's their best course of action, you think? And they're members of a particular union.
I think it's worthwhile getting in contact with Socialist Alliance in your city. Now, maybe not all unionists know what Socialist Alliance is and so forth, but certainly there are a range of trade unionists in Socialist Alliance who are trying to develop a campaign to defeat this legislation in collaboration with other unionists. I think that would be worthwhile doing. Now, there may be in your city, in Melbourne, there's a group called the Union Solidarity Group as well, which is mainly does sort of picket line solidarity sort of actions, and also plays a role around the building of the big protests and organises public meetings in some local areas. And it's got a range of groups, half a dozen to 10 groups in different localities in Melbourne. Not all of the groups meet all of the time. Often they'll come together in order to plan some event or build up support for the big mass union protests. So it's worthwhile contacting that group, but also we're trying to, this year, follow on from the Fight Back Conference, which we had last year, to try and see if we can free up the resources to develop a proper website for a Fight Back network, which is not just Victoria, but nationwide, and seeing if we can do some minimal things which can help improve the level of contact and collaboration between unionists around the country. And that's not just unionists who are in Socialist Alliance, but a wide range of unionists. And really, it didn't really fully get off the ground this year just for resource reasons, but in the new year we're hoping to be able to free up the resource to do that properly.
One final question, and has to come inevitably, I think, back to the question of the role of the Labor Party. Now, it's true that I think that the Labor Party is, for once, hasn't fallen into a Me Too approach around this new IR legislation, when everything else that you can talk about relative to Howard, they're just another version of Howard. Mm-hmm. But they have said that they oppose the legislation and that they will do things when they're elected, and you point out that that's not going to be really possible for quite some time, even if they win the majority in the House of Representatives in the next election. So what role will the Labor Party be playing for this time ahead, once not only between now and the legislation being brought into practice, and we know we have the High Court challenge, but what's their likely approach to be to the political situation and any chances of a breakout in the trade unions?
Well, a couple of things on the Labor Party. The reason they haven't adopted a Me Too position is because I think they were so blown away by the response on June 30 and July 1, it was July 1 in New South Wales, that Beazley was forced to basically start to indicate that they may repeal the legislation, which then, when the legislation saw the light of day at the end of October, beginning of November, it was so bad, and as well as the fact that public opinion was running strongly against the legislation, they were forced to say they'll rip it up. Now, I mean, they were really forced to adopt that position because of the mass pressure from workers. What they have not, Beazley's been very careful to leave out of his press statements, is the fact that the Labor Party continues to support Australian workplace agreements, which
are basically on-the-job contracts.
That's right, individual contracts. And Now, they may plan to repeal the legislation, but if they keep fostering individual contracts, that will undermine everything for the union movement, because it undermines collectivity. So Beazley's been careful not to talk about that element of the program. And in some union meetings in Perth and Victoria, we've passed motions calling on the Labor Party to commit itself to abolishing Australian workplace agreements, these individual agreements. And I think that's quite important to keep up the pressure. On the other hand, it is an interesting situation for us, because the opinion polls, some of the ALP internal opinion polling, shows that the union campaign is very popular, but the Labor Party continues to be unpopular. So the Labor Party is wanting to associate, get all of its MPs to be associated with this campaign in some shape or form. Now, for the left, outside the Labor Party, or the unionists who want to see a genuine campaign, that is a plus, because it means, in terms of, you know, doing local organising against the legislation, public meetings, etc., etc., means a bigger pool of people, where it's not like Martin Ferguson, who says he'll refuse to work with any group that involves the Greens. But the other Labor...
Any group that involves the Greens? Yeah. Ferguson's saying that, is he?
Yeah.
Well, okay. That means he doesn't want to work with anyone, in more or less, except probably a few churches and special interest groups.
Well, that's Ferguson. But some of the other local Labor MPs have, you know, played a helpful role in the campaign. And I think that's good, because there are a lot of Labor Party members, individual rank and file Labor Party members, who want to see a militant campaign, and also are just as critical of the Labor Party and the fact that the Labor Party came so late into supporting the campaign. They're just as critical of it as people who aren't members of the Labor Party. But what we have to watch and prevent the campaign turning into is a campaign which will just assume the Labor Party will get elected at the next election, and B, assume that all we need to do is help the Labor Party get elected, vote them in, and everything will be hunky-dory, because that's what the ACTU is trying to wind this campaign down now. The last ACTU executive in November had a discussion about whether or not there would be any more mass protests, with a section arguing strongly that there shouldn't be any more mass protests. In the end, they decided to have one more in the middle of the year. But really, the signs are that really that mass protest being scheduled not until the middle of the year indicates they're not intending to try to defeat the legislation. They're just intent on getting the Labor Party elected. And so I think the support of Labor Party members in the campaign, even Labor Party MPs, is welcome. And I think that's a good thing, and we need to push the Labor Party and Labor Party MPs to commit themselves to repealing the legislation, to getting rid of AWAs, etc. We need to put the pressure on them to say, you know, they will not be supported if, you know, they don't make those commitments. But at the same time, and we need to work with anyone who's opposed to the legislation, but at the same time, we can't have this campaign held hostage to the electoral interests of the Labor Party, because even before the next election, I mean, what happens? I mean, Howard stages some sort of Cronulla race riot, or some sort of ASIO initiated Hilton bombing or something, and the debate will be around terrorism, not around industrial relations. The fact that, you know, there's mass opposition to the IR laws and massive opposition to the Howard government at the moment doesn't mean that that will be the case at the time of the next elections. Howard is a very masterful campaigner. We need to be conducting a campaign which isn't dependent on the Labor Party getting elected, and trying to defeat the legislation now. You know, if we build a campaign which is aimed at trying to defeat the legislation, designed to intimidate employers into not using the legislation, then, that will actually mean that Howard is probably less likely to win the next election, but that shouldn't be the focus of the campaign. The focus of the campaign should be trying to win the campaign on the ground. But that's a big issue we've got to argue out, because in the Australian population, a lot of people, probably a much higher proportion than, say, in the 60s and 70s, think that the only way you can change things is just through elections, whereas once upon a time there was a much bigger left activist movement where people had a lot more confidence in their own ability as trade unionists, as peace activists, anti-war activists, anti-racism activists, to build a big mass movement which would win the issues on the ground, which then, you know, later on, whichever party was in government would be forced, was politically impossible for it to not reflect that in legislation. But we need to rebuild that confidence in that united, a mass united struggle can defeat the government. The thing that Howard would love the most is for the ACTU to wind the campaign down into just a re-elect Labor campaign. Howard would love that, because it would be a sign that the oomph has gone out of the campaign, just as Jeff Kennett loved it when the Victorian Unions did that in 1993. The thing that Howard would hate the most is if the campaign keeps going as a serious campaign, and we need to try and get more unionists thinking about how we can build a campaign to defeat the legislation and not just get Labor elected.
But there's a wild card in this, isn't it? Because the legislation is so expansive and so brutal, it's going to be very easy for a union organiser or a trade union to fall foul of these laws, just as we've seen over the Christmas period in New York Transit Authority dispute. I mean, that union, its members and its office holders have been hit with massive fines, right? So, I mean, if you look at the situation in the building industry with this watchdog body that came, it's set up to have conflict. You break the law in terms of these new laws, and they'll go after you like they did during the MUA dispute. That's a possible scenario, and then they'll probably try and have a dispute with a targeted union and use that as a campaign to consolidate the laws and practice. Is that a likely possibility?
That's quite a likely possibility. Basically what we need to do is we need a situation where a union refuses to pay fines in a particular dispute. Now,
which inevitably means that they're going to be jailed.
Yeah. Because, well, A, these laws will bankrupt unions, for unions that do the job. There are undoubtedly some unions that intend to do almost nothing over the next 3 years until the next, or 2 years or whatever it is, until the next election. They plan to obey the laws to the letter and not breach the laws. There are other unions which will probably push the boundaries slightly, but with full intention of the union paying all of the fines and so forth, not refusing to pay fines. But for a whole lot of unions, especially the building unions, where they have built up a militant base amongst their membership, their activists, and the, you know, the CFMU in Victoria and Western Australia in particular have a very strong and committed activist core, more than any other union I've seen in many years, and their members are expecting that their officials will be, not in an adventurous or silly way, but refusing to pay fines. The question is, they'll be trying to avoid making some little dispute, which will be not very well understood by the public, into one of those showdown disputes, because at the moment the bosses are trying to CFMU into court over all sorts of different little disputes, and the thing will be to try to work out which is the dispute to stand the ground and then basically risk the onslaught and then try and build a big solidarity response. thing is, if you wait too long in doing that, A, the union will be bankrupted, but also you'll lose the momentum of the whole campaign. But at some point, you've got to risk the, these fines. And one of the things that drove the government nuts with the Workplace Relations Act that they introduced in 1996 is they've got all of these fines for illegal industrial action, which a whole lot of unions in Victoria just refused to pay. And, you know, there's Abbott and Reith, the IR minister before him, in speeches to employers, frothing at the mouth about unions with drawers full of unpaid fines, which they just ignored, and wanting the employers to be tougher about using all the most penal, all the harshest parts of the legislation, whereas the employers were not wanting to be the ones that took all the cost, wanting the government to foot the cost of taking on the union, especially, you know, employers in some of the areas like construction industry and so forth. But at the moment, they're going to be lots of little bushfires, and it is going to stretch the union movement to respond, but we have to build up and strengthen the solidarity networks around each group of workers that is attacked.
Thank you, Sue. Sue Bolton is National Trade Union Coordinator for the Socialist Alliance. You'll find information about the Socialist Alliance in the show notes. You'll also find information about a National Trade Union Network that is the follow-up initiative from the FIPAC conference, which was held in June this year. If you want to get in touch with Ratbag Radio or The Blather, please feel free to contact us at ratbagradio@yahoo.com.au. That's ratbagradio@yahoo.com.au. And Ratbag Radio is located at ratbagradio.blogspot.com. That's ratbagradio.blogspot.com. This is Dave Riley speaking. See you next time.